Listen, young person, I want you to know that you are not inferior to anyone. You bear the image of God. Every human being in this place and on this planet bears the image of God. And I don't want any of you young people to ever forget that. If your mama hasn't told you that, just remember today that Pastor Brian is saying to you, you are special. You're made in the image of God.
Hello, and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way.
In last week's message, Pastor Brian Grant continued in his consecutive series of messages from the book of the Acts with a message on how, in the early church, God used ordinary people to accomplish extraordinary things, even unbelievers, in their hostility to this new phenomenon of the Church of Jesus Christ, testified that these ordinary men had turned the world of that day upside down. Pastor Brian pointed out how that the same power of the Holy Spirit that empowered this early church is available to the church of today. Challenging days lay ahead, however. So if you have your Bibles, please turn to Acts chapter 6 and join us as Pastor Grant brings a message entitled, The Church Under Fire. Here's Pastor Grant.
A young single preacher was appointed pastor and preached a message entitled 10 Facts on How to Raise Perfect Children. Well, he soon got married, and a few years after they had their first child, he decided to preach the old sermon again. But this time he changed the title from 10 Facts on How to Raise Perfect Children to 10 Suggestions on How to Raise Healthy Children. A few years after the second child was born, he decided to preach the sermon again. This time he changed the title, 10 Possibilities for Parenting Children. Well, the third child came and he decided to preach the message again. This time he revised the entire title and he called it 10 Prayers for Parents. Several years later, when the kids were now teenagers, he decided to preach it again, but this time he said he better just burn the message, and he wrote a brand new message entitled, Help Me, Jesus. I think by now we have all figured out that there are no perfect children. Somebody say amen. Amen. And because there are no perfect children, there are no perfect adults, and that's why there is no perfect church. So as Brother Sam used to say back in the day, he said, if you ever find a perfect church, what would he say? Run. Because he said, if you join, you're going to mess it up. Leave it alone. Acts chapter 2 to Acts chapter 5 introduces us to the excitement of the early church. People were being saved by the thousands in that space of time. Acts chapter 2, you remember it started with 3,000, and there were now over 5,000 men, and there must have been more than 15,000 in just that short space of time. The church was growing incredibly. Even the religious leaders were being saved, believe it or not. Incredible miracles were being done. Acts chapter 5, verse 15 tells us people brought their sick into the street, and just Peter's shadow falling on these people healed them. Folks were so moved by the Holy Spirit, and you better believe this had to be a movement of the Holy Spirit. The Bible tells us they were so moved. People were selling their houses and land and bringing the proceeds to be used for the work of God. You know that had to be a movement of the Spirit. Amen. What an exciting time. What an exciting church to belong to. How could anything go wrong in a church like that where the Spirit of God was moving so mightily? But I have come to find out wherever the Spirit of God is at work, you can expect the devil to show up. Satan is not about to roll over or play dead because the Spirit is at work. He attacks from all sides. He causes outsiders to attack the church. But he's also developed great skill in getting the church to shoot itself internally. And in Acts chapter 6 and in Acts chapter 7, we find the church under attack both internally and externally. And today I want to look at these two chapters of the book of Acts as I share with you a message entitled, The Church Under Fire. The Church Under Fire. We've heard the term friendly fire. Friendly fire is when soldiers accidentally fire on their own comrades. But what happens sometimes in churches today is so unfriendly that we cannot call this friendly fire. We've got some unfriendly fire in the church today. And so this morning, as we share this message, The Church on the Fire, I want first of all to share with you four sources of internal fire. The first, ethnic or cultural differences. And here we have Acts of the Apostles, chapter 6, verse 1. And the Word of God says, in those days, when the number of disciples was increasing, the Grecian Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. One group, the Grecian Jews, complained against the Hebraic Jews, and the word there, complain, is the word that means murmuring. Despite the incredible movement of the Holy Spirit, there was an undercurrent going on in the early church. Negative stuff was passing through the grapevine. And would to God that as we have come into God's house this morning, we're opening our hearts to the Word of God. And if we are part of a murmuring, and I thank God I can preach freely because I don't know of any murmuring. So let's just say, oh, he must be picking on something. I know of no murmuring, but God wants to warn us because the devil, as the Spirit of God is working, and there is no doubt the Spirit of God is at work amongst us, but you had better believe that the devil is not pleased that God is at work. And what happens when God is at work, that there are these differences, and what happened here in the church, there was a murmuring. Something started going on in the grapevine. Now, it's interesting. This was not a dispute between Jews and the Gentiles. This was a dispute between Jews and Jews. Some were born in Israel and spoke Aramaic, while others were born in other countries and they spoke primarily Greek. Greek was their primary language. And although it was Jew and Jew, they found a reason to divide. Isn't it amazing how we can always find a reason to divide? I want us to take this seriously. Because there is something, listen, there is something inherently wrong with us as human beings because we are always finding a reason to divide. We divide on color, we divide on social class, we divide on country of origin. Some churches divide on wine versus grape juice, you better believe it. Did you know that? One group said it should be wine, one group said it's grape juice, and so they split. One group said it should be bread, one group said it should be matzo for the breaking of bread, so they split. Something in us is always seeking a reason to divide. I wonder if I'm speaking to somebody this morning who has something in them that you're trying to divide. You feel that perhaps you might be a little better than somebody else. You know, this stuff makes us do some crazy things. Cheryl and I, we were in Vietnam, and we had hired a motorbike tour. So this is quite exciting. If you ever go to a country that has this, you may want to try it. So here we were on these little scooters, and these young ladies were our tour guides, And so, here I am on the back of the scooter. But when we got there, we noticed that everybody had on, it must have been about 90 degrees. Everybody had on long sleeves and gloves. And we noticed everybody who wasn't even doing the tour. So we said to the young lady, why does everybody have on long sleeves? Why do you all have on jackets and it's so hot? She says, because we want our skin to be white. Now, from where I stood, I thought they were pretty light-skinned. But you see, the culture says that the lighter the skin is, the better you are. So what they had to do, they had to make sure they protected themselves from all sunlight so the skin maintain its whiteness. And then, of course, you'd have there all these advertisements because you have to do all you can to bleach to become as white as you possibly can be. This stuff makes us do crazy things. A young person, if we're not careful, there are people who have made some of our young people believe they're not as good as somebody else. But listen, young person, I want you to know that you are not inferior to anyone. You bear the image of God. Every human being in this place and on this planet bears the image of God, and there is nobody that is superior to you. Amen? Amen. They're not superior, and you are certainly not superior to them. We're all unique. We've got our own fingerprints. We've got our own talents. We've got our own abilities. God has made every single one of us special. And I don't want any of you young people to ever forget that. If your mama hasn't told you that, just remember today that Pastor Brian is saying to you, you are special. You're made in the image of God. You are important to me. I need you to serve. Oh, come on, brothers and sisters at GCA. Do we really mean that? Do you really mean that? You're so talented. You've got it all together. I want you to know you need me. And I need you. We are part of God's family. And listen good. You are closer to me if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. You're closer to me than your blood relative who doesn't know Jesus. I hope you recognize that. And it doesn't matter. Some folks don't like this race and that race. It doesn't matter what race you are from. We are part of God's family. God has united us in Jesus Christ. Amen. He has baptized us into the one body of Christ. And oh, I'm so thankful that I'm a part of the wonderful family of God. What was the apostles' response? Here they have this drama going on in the church. The murmuring is going through the grapevine. One saying, we are being left out. Y'all are playing favorites. First, they acknowledged the problem. I'm going to give you three very simple things, obvious things. But as I prepared, I realized the Spirit of God wanted me to emphasize three simple things that every single one of us know, because it is possible that although we know them, we don't do them. Number one, first, they acknowledged the problem. The worst thing we can do is to know there's a problem and to do nothing. Do you know that some Christians believe the way to solve a problem is to get a broom and to what? Sweep it under the rug. Let's just sweep it under the rug. And so guess what? The rug just gets more lumpy. Some folks' rug has a huge bulge because everything is under the rug. Hebrews chapter 12 verse 15. The word of God says there in Hebrews chapter 12 verse 15. See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. I don't want you to miss something very simple that's in this verse. Notice what it says. See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God, and that no bitter root, what? Grows up. Here is the danger of what happens when we sweep things under the rug. We allow the root to do what? To grow up. God wants us to deal with the problem when it first manifests. Don't allow the root to grow. You notice what the Word of God says? It says, because if you allow it to grow up, it will cause trouble and defile what? Many. The problem is, we don't take care of stuff. And by the time it's all over, a whole ton of people have been affected. And I want to encourage you, my friend, because you know it is impossible for so many people to be in a church rubbing shoulders and nobody ever gets offended or gets their feelings hurt. But I want to encourage you from this day to make a commitment to God and say, God, I am going to commit to you that I am not going to allow a root of bitterness to grow up. God, I am going to stop sweeping stuff under the rug.
We invite you to join us each Sunday at 10:45 a.m. as we go through a sermon series based on the book of Acts. This series is entitled Pentecostal Power, Lessons from the Early Church. The messages coincide with the television series AD on NBC. These studies will explore the epic journey of the first followers of Christ who, through the power given at Pentecost, changed the world. Come and discover how these lessons learned from the early church can change our lives today. For further information, please call our church office at 215-242-5550. That's 215-242-5550. And now back to Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
If you're here this morning and you're hurt, somebody has hurt you, or the leaders have hurt you, or whatever has happened, resolve, I am going to get it fixed. I am going to deal with it. Can you say amen? Amen. But not only did they acknowledge the problem, but the leaders also determined the solution. In Acts of the Apostles chapter 6, verses 2 to 5, it tells us what they did. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the Word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them and will give our attention to prayer and to the ministry of the Word of God. The apostles prayerfully devised the solution, and they realized that the solution had to give priority to the ministry of the Word and to prayer. The apostles devised a solution. There is also a recommendation as to how you can fix any interpersonal problem. Third, they took action. And so in Acts of the Apostles, chapter 6, verse number 5, we read this. This proposal pleased the whole group. And so they choose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, Philip and Prochorus and Nicanor and Timon and Parmenas and Nicholas from Antioch. They presented these men to the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. They took action. The problem was only resolved because they took action. Oh, this is so simple, but I don't want you to miss it. You can know about problems. You can feel the problem. You can be part of the problem. You can know the solution to the problem. But if you do nothing, the problem will never get fixed. I've discovered that Christians often know exactly what the solution is, but they will sit and do nothing. The early church decided they were going to do something. Oh, I hope this morning the Spirit of God will talk to us. Amen. The early church had quickly and successfully dealt with this first conflict. This is the first conflict the book tells us about. And they had quickly and successfully dealt with it. But soon the church took the easy route. They started allowing things to fester and remain unresolved. And so by the time we get to the epistles, we see some more problems coming up. And I want to quickly this morning just talk about three of them before I move on. So the second cause of internal fire, interpersonal conflicts. Interpersonal conflicts. Turn with me to the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 4. And I'm just going to read two verses for you there. Verses 2 and 3 of Philippians chapter 4. He says here, I plead with Euodia and I plead with Syntyche to agree with each other in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you, loyal yoke fellow, help these women who have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Can you imagine? These women were not bench warmers. These women were spiritual, mature women who had worked with Paul in spreading the gospel. These women had contended, as the King James puts it. They had contended for the gospel. You would think, come with me now. You know, sometimes we make the mistake of thinking problems only result from those who are not spiritually mature. If that's your belief, you better think again. Because sometimes the challenges happen among the spiritually mature. Because sometimes the spiritually mature are very reluctant. Because I am so knowledgeable in the things of God, I'm so learned in the things of God, that I won't fix anything. And this is why there are a lot of problems, believe it or not, on the mission field. People who have given their lives to Jesus. Did you know there are a lot of interpersonal problems on the mission field? This conflict went unresolved for so long. Paul had to write about it. Christians sometimes treat interpersonal conflicts as if they don't matter. We are about ministering the word of God. Who needs to be worried about the interpersonal conflicts? But Paul realized that these conflicts are harmful to the church. Now can I give you a practical illustration? So let's assume GCA has now announced Evangelism Day, okay? Now, if Euodia and Syntyche were here, Syntyche would go to the sign-up sheet in the lobby, and if Euodia signed up, Syntyche says, I won't do that ministry because I don't want to get too close to her. I got a problem with her. Do you see how this thing works? Do you realize in our church, if you don't fix problems, you have a tendency to want to see who is leading that ministry, who is involved in that ministry, and you make a determination based on whether you're getting along with that person or not. Listen, God has a solution. He says, fix it. And I'm praying this morning that as the Spirit of God works in our hearts, we would start realizing that the most dangerous type of fire against the church, remember now, our message title is what? The church under fire. The most deadly fire against the church is the fire that's happening on the inside. It's not the outside fire. The most dangerous and damaging fire to God's church is what happens on the inside when Christians are shooting each other. You say, oh, I'm not shooting anybody. You are shooting when you fail to take care of business. Second problem, interpersonal conflict. Do you have result? You know, the Bible tells us what to do. Listen, if you don't know, go to Matthew 18, 15 to 17. Matthew 18, 15 to 17. God gives you the prescription, the steps to follow to resolve interpersonal conflict. Ephesians 4, 3. Before I move on, Ephesians 4, 3. Here's what Ephesians 4, 3 says. It says what? Read it with me. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Brothers and sisters, I just want to ask you this morning, do you have any interpersonal conflict? And here's a question. Are you making every effort to keep the unity?
Thanks so much for tuning in today. We trust this was a real encouragement to you. If you made a decision for Christ today, or if we can be of any spiritual encouragement, please contact us. Counselors are available to respond to your questions and to send you resources that will help in your walk with Christ. You can reach us weekdays at 215-242-5550 or by visiting our website, gcafamilychurch.org.
Living God's Way is the broadcast ministry of the Germantown Christian Assembly, located at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. We invite you to join us for worship each Sunday at 10:45 a.m. and for Tuesday night community connections every Tuesday at 6 p.m. And now, on behalf of Pastor Brian Grant, Steve Washington, and our entire church family, this is Taylor Noble reminding you to tune in same time next week for another edition of Living God's Way.